Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sonata Software Limited Q4 FY23 and full year FY23 earnings update conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Samir Dhir, CEO and Managing Director from Sonata Software Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. My name is Samir, and very good evening to all of you. A very warm welcome to this conference call to discuss our strategy and goals and the financial results for the quarter Q4, which ended in March 31st, 2023, and the full year updates. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your valuable time and support. It's my pleasure to share that the progress that we have continued to make with respect to our vision and growth for Sonata. The executive team remains committed to judiciously accelerate the growth curve and build scale. As we've always talked about, build scale in terms of large clients, large deals, market partnerships, and talent. We had a very exciting quarter and delivered yet another quarter of industry-leading growth, and I'll share the numbers a little later in the call. Before I do that, let me cover an update on our strategic goals first. If you recall, we had stated in October 2022 that our international business will be $500 million in 4 years' time and will be known as a specialist firm in modernization and digital engineering, and scale our India business aligned towards gaining market share with end-to-end contracts in data and cloud modernization opportunities. We have made tremendous progress towards the strategic goals of M&A, large deals, and verticalization. Let me cover M&A first. We acquired Quorum Systems, a Texas-based IT services and software company, in an all-cash deal in the quarter, the biggest-ever acquisition in Sonata Software history. Quorum had delivered $37 million in revenue and met its 30 EBITDA in FY 2022. Quorum brings two large clients to Sonata, which will be top five clients to Sonata from day one. This aligns to our strategy to invest in BFSI and healthcare. One of the clients is a BFSI client, and the other is a healthcare client. In the past 7 to 8 weeks, we have made significant progress in integrating Quorum into Sonata. At this point in time, I'm happy to report that from a go-to-market perspective, the two teams are fully integrated. We're working judiciously to create large deals, mid-sized deals, and really expanding our footprint into BFSI and healthcare, which was the strategic rationale of making the deal in the first place. We'll report more on that as we move forward, but at this point in time, the go-to-market teams are fully integrated between Quorum and Sonata teams. On the large deals, if you recall, when I came on board, I had shared with you a sharp focus on large deals, and we're very pleased with the progress we have made. Just to recap, we announced two large deals in Q2, four in Q3, and we're delighted that in the last quarter, we closed three large deals, and one of them is the largest-ever deal for Sonata. Let me provide you a commentary on the three large deals we closed in the quarter. First things first, the largest-ever deal of Sonata, which was a $160 million contract for 10 years, is backed by this client is backed by one of the largest private equity firms, have a very strong cash flow, and generating double-digit profitability. The client, which is a net new logo for Sonata, will make a direct entry into our top five clients list of Sonata. This 10-year strategic modernization deal will entail Sonata taking over all the technology towers, including people transfer, which supports our U.S. localization strategy, and also we will be responsible for end-to-end IT modernization and transformation. This is end-to-end. That's the key word to emphasize here. We're building a single platform for our future for the client to modernize and transform their core application suite, creating an omnichannel and connected organization with a customer 360-degree view. We will bring our expertise and skills pertaining to Azure, AWS, enterprise data, automation, cloud optimization, and CRM as we deliver this program. Beyond this exciting deal, which we have talked to you about earlier, there are two other large deals we closed in the quarter, which also led our large deal pipeline to be increased by about 12% from the prior quarter. The two other large deals we won, one is a large multi-year deal we won with a leading network service provider. Sonata signed a multi-year contract to partner on customer strategic business and technology transformation initiatives with a focus to deliver operational efficiencies, and excellence leveraging our modernization capabilities. This is a multi-year contract. The third deal, which is a managed services deal for Microsoft platform, integrating Microsoft technologies and other IT solutions. This is a multi-year large deal as well, with one of the largest manufacturers outside of the US. Customer selected us as a strategic partner to support them on their modernization journey. Our robust solution, backed by our credentials with Microsoft product engineering and support, really helped us win this deal. So with that, our story, just to recap, of large deals continues to go strong, strength to strength. Two deals in Q2, four in Q3, and again three in Q4 with one of the largest deals ever in Sonata's history. From large deals, we move on to provide an update on the verticalization. As you recall, we had talked about driving sharper focus into new verticals as well as harvesting the existing verticals. The invest verticals we called out was BFSI and healthcare, life sciences. And the harvest verticals were TMT, which is telecom, media, and high tech, and retail manufacturing. But let's talk about the invest verticals first. On the invest vertical side, we continue to build strong sales, delivery, and domain capabilities in these verticals. The BFSI vertical is constantly evolving and adapting to new technologies, regulations, and customer preferences. Our growth in banking industry in time to come will really be pivoted off these vectors. The banking industry has recently been facing some challenges, but the area that we are focused on, which is in the consumer banking space and the regulatory space and data privacy space, the demand patterns continues to be robust even now. On the healthcare side, the industry is expected to continue to grow in the coming years, driven by demographic changes, technological advancements, and changing healthcare delivery models. The shift towards value-based care and technological advancements have led to the development of new treatments and medical equipment, which are some of the key factors leading to overall positive outlook in the healthcare industry. On the harvest vertical side, which was the strength of Sonata from a long time, which is TMT, retail, and manufacturing, we continue to see strong pipeline build and order book momentum across all the harvest verticals. Having said that, we have seen some softness in the high-tech industry, which is close to about 25-30% of our overall business, in a few select mid-clients, where growth rates have reduced. They're still growing, but the growth rates have come down in the high-tech industry. But we remain overall positive, even in the high-tech sector, despite of those few clients that have showed some slowdown. With that, let me move to provide you an update on the scale. It is my indeed a pleasure to inform that Suresh HP has joined us from Mindtree as the delivery head of Sonata, a chief delivery officer for Sonata overall. With this rich experience, Suresh will enable Sonata to continue building an innovative and trusted delivery organization that inspires our clients and team members to deliver high-quality outcomes. This is a strategic hire for us, especially given our focus on last year. And we believe the capabilities and skills that Suresh brings to the table will really help us accelerate our large deal journey from a solution and capability point of view. Beyond that, we're increasing our investments in generative AI. We're very excited about the space in generative AI, and we continue to make significant inroads in the generative AI area. And we're happy to report that we won our first contract in the generative AI space in the past quarter. This is a marquee engagement for us to modernize the productivity requirements of our client using generative AI. We will continue to grow our India business with a sharp focus on annuity business. Our endeavor is to move up the value chain and make Sonata preferred partner for everything related to cloud and data, and really continue to drive end-to-end contracts with these clients. We have kicked off our endeavor to build trusted partnerships with leading hyperscalers and other key players who can strengthen our modernization play. Happy to report, with Microsoft, we are now a Microsoft Cloud Solution Partner, and have completed 13 more advanced specialization with Microsoft. With AWS, we continue to go strength to strength and really working with them to drive a higher level of joint with the market, jointly with them. With that, let me move on to the talent. People success remains core to our success as we move forward, as we scale the company. We launched Sonata Career Academy to to offer access to vast content and opportunities for Sonatians to learn the latest technologies and continue to remain a value-added provider to our clients. We're very happy with the progress we're making of Sonata Career Academy. On the diversity and inclusiveness, we formed a global council for D&I in the company, and we are really pleased with the progress we're making on our D&I charter as well. From a women empowerment perspective, we're delighted that we hosted or partnered with the Women's T20 Cricket franchise, and really that helped us strengthen our brand as well as our commitment to the D&I initiative. Based on the above updates and progress we have made, whether it is the M&A, which is the largest ever acquisition, whether it is the large deal, which is the largest ever deal in Sonata's history, whether it is the D&I investment that we are making, our teams have come up with this theme called Play Big campaign, and this is the Play Big Sonata that you have seen. And we're very delighted with the progress overall we're making. With those broad strategic and goal updates, let me move on to Q4. In Q4, our international services business grew by 8.6% overall. Within that, organic grew 4.5% quarter on quarter. Well pleased with the progress with those numbers. Our yearly numbers growth in the international business was 18.7%. In constant currency terms, we witnessed 8% quarter on quarter and 23.1% full year Y and Y growth. Our operating margins were 23.9% normalized after the one-time M&A related costs, which were 17.1 crores pre-tax, but with those incorporated, our operating margins were at 20.7%. The gross contribution in our domestic business grew 2.9% sequentially and 28.8% full year Y and Y. FY23, our PAT grew 20%. The consolidated PAT grew 7.8% normalized, and if you back out the M&A related expenses in the quarter. We had a net headcount growth of over 702 employees within the company, and that excludes Quant. We really grew the headcount quite significantly in the course of the quarter, and this also includes 140 freshers that joined the organization in Q4. We continue to make steady progress in reducing our attrition. In the quarter, the attrition came in around 12%. In summary, we continue to remain optimistic about the long-term growth prospects. The progress that we are making, whether it is large deals, M&A, integration, as well as driving capabilities in the company. In FY24, as we start the new fiscal, we have two tailwinds and one potential headwind. The two tailwinds are the large deal that we announced and the Quant acquisition we announced. And then there is a potential headwind on the TNT softness in few select clients. All in, we expect to deliver a strong upcoming quarter and expect to stay bullish about our growth prospects in FY24. And we expect to deliver a top 25% quartile performance in the industry. With that, we remain on course for our 500 million goal and deliver a high growth in FY24. And this growth will be higher than FY23 in dollar terms. With that, thank you. And let me turn it over to Jagan for his comments and our financial performance.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Amit. Thanks for your update. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all. We had a very exciting quarter and delivered yet another quarter of industry-leading growth. It's my pleasure to present you the Q4 23 financial performance. The revenue for the quarter grew by 8.6% and quarter-on-quarter and 18.1% year-on-year. In rupee terms, it was 9% quarter-on-quarter and 28.9% year-on-year. In constant currency terms, we have witnessed 8% quarter-on-quarter growth and 21.2% year-on-year growth. Other metrics, consolidated EPS for Q4 was 8 rupees 10 paisa per share and Q3 was 8 rupees 40 paisa. Financial year 23 was 32 rupees 60 paisa compared to 27.2 per share last year. At the console level, ROC stood at 36.8%. There was a small drop in the ROC compared to last quarter. This was due to the additional capital employed of 4% during the quarter. 6% increase in the network and 3% drop in console PAT resulted in the decrease of RONW from 40% to 36.5% in this quarter. Profitability in Q4 PAT grew quarter-on-quarter 7.8%, normalized for one-time M&A related cost of 17.1 crores gross pre-tax and the reported PAT declined by 3.3% quarter-on-quarter. For the financial year 23, year-on-year PAT grew by 23.5% on a normalized basis and 20% on a reported basis. Q4 consolidated PAT percentage was 5.8% against 5.2%. Normalized basis Q4 PAT stood at 6.8% compared to 5.2% reported last quarter. Q4 consolidated EBITDA percentage was 7.9% against 6.9% in Q3. On a normalized basis, consolidated EBITDA stood at 8.8%. The international services EBITDA before Forex and OA reported was 20.7% against 23.8% last quarter. However, on normalized basis, we have improved 10 basis points and the EBITDA before Forex and OA is actually 23.9% for this quarter. 315 bps quarter-on-quarter drop, mainly because of salary increments, had a net impact of 97 basis points. One-time M&A costs, M&A and related costs is 320 basis points. Exchange realization and working days have given us a benefit of 56 basis points and quant profitability impact was around 46 basis points. Here, in the exceptional headwinds for the in due to M&A was actually the full quarter amortization impact was about what we are expecting from the next quarter. Just for the update of the analyst, we will have an amortization impact of around 9.5 crores per quarter. Then interest on the loan, what we have borrowed is roughly around 5 crores. And the interest on deferred consideration, which is an accounting entry as per the Ind AS and equivalent to IFRS, this amount is about 8.5 crores and the total is about 23 crores impact every quarter. The interest on loan will come down once it started repaid, when we start repaying the loan, and we are expecting to completely repay the loan in 12 to 15 months time. And the interest on deferred consideration will sharply drop after the first payment happens in the January-February of 2024, and further it will keep coming within the when the amount is paid fully, this amount will completely go off. However, the net amortization amount may continue for a slightly longer period of time than the intangible assets are amortized. The domestic gross contribution grew 2.9% sequentially from last quarter and full year was 28.8% year-on-year. Key update apart from this financials what I have given, the utilization moved from 84.2% to 86.4% led by optimization of the batch headcount and higher deployment, added 50 new customers compared to 20 customers last quarter. Top 20 client concentration sustained at 62-66%. Number of $1 million customers have increased in Q4. 1 to 3 million was 43, Q3 was 37, and 4 increase from quant additions happened during this quarter. 3 to 5 million customers are 7. 3 increase and out of that 4 out of that 3 was due to quant from quant, and more than $5 million customers are 8, 5 in last quarter, 2 increase from quant. We have mentioned about the new industry vertical classification in the previous earning call. TMT vertical has contributed to 31% of the revenue. Q3 was 33%, followed by 26% in retail, CPG and travel and hospitality industry. It was 21% in Q3. Cloud and dynamic competency have contributed 36%, which was 35% in the last quarter, and 37% of the revenues respectively. So total headcount moved from 5,727 in Q3 to 6,429 in Q4. The net headcount growth of 702 employees within the company, excluding quant, it was 209 additions. In summary, we continue to remain optimistic about our long-term growth prospects and for the quarter, for the year, the final dividend we have declared is 8.75 rupees. With this, the total dividend comes to 15.75 rupees for the whole year. And we continue to be very, very optimistic on the growth. And as Samir mentioned, we are very positive in the direction of achieving the $500 million in the next 3 years. Thank you all. Hand over for the session.
Thank you very much. So should we start the floor for Q&A?
Yes.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Baidik Sarkar from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sameer, Sujit, and Jagan. Congrats to you and the team on a very good print. A couple of questions. Sameer, based on your conversations today and notwithstanding the deals that we've already won, what is your level of satisfaction around the quality of the large deal pipeline conversations that you're having? And how do you feel about conversions going forward? And on the same lines, Sameer, you know, over the last couple of quarters of our interaction, especially since you've come in last year, there's been a good amount of qualitative discourse on the new areas of growth future. My question is, how's the legacy part of our business doing, right? You know, what's the outlook on the Microsoft part of our business that has gotten us here so far? So yeah, your comments on these, and then I'll come back to the follow-up.
Thanks for the question, Vidyut. I think the two parts. On the large deals, qualitatively, the way to think about it is two stages. Number one, as you know, we have invested significantly in the modernization engineering aspects. We continuously see a strong demand pattern on the modernization side, especially all industries which are consumer-facing, which is whether it is retail, whether it is healthcare. We continue to see that momentum come through from a modernization perspective. Even in these times, while customers are more calibrated, but they are continuing to spend and invest in these consumer-facing modernization initiatives. So we don't see any significant slowdown on that front. Of course, there are some decision delays here and there, but by and large, the momentum is pretty robust. On the cost takeout side, with the second bucket, I think there are conversations happening, but really it's on the adoption of emerging areas, whether it is the generative AI area, whether it is the modern age automation stories or hyper-automation. I think that's the second bucket that we see. At a high level, I would say about 70 to 80% of our deals are much more modernization engineering-oriented, and about 20-30% of the deals are perhaps on the more cost takeout side. So that's the way to think about it. And I think we're pretty bullish about this because as customers continue to spend and refine their front stores, we believe we have an opportunity to leverage that capability and drive that acceleration from a large deal perspective. On the second part of your question about the Microsoft relationship that Sonata has enjoyed over 30 years, I think that continues to grow quite well. We are very happy about the progress we're making, and let me give you some color on that with you. There are two parts. So there is, of course, the dynamics which has been the strong suite of Sonata over the years. We are continuing to see a good pipeline build because Microsoft is themselves making good progress on the dynamic sell-to-sell-with relationship. And the second part is we are beginning to see adoption of Power Platforms, which is their low-code, no-code version of the tools. So we continue to see good momentum. And for one of the telecom deals, telecom clients, we have been commissioned to create a COE for them on the Power Platforms to drive the low-code, no-code adoption. Early days, we can't declare a full success on the low-code, no-code Power Platform as yet from a go-to-market perspective, but what we are seeing right now is quite a tremendous progress in that sense as well.
So that's helpful for me. You know, in terms of the large $160 million deal that we've won, you know, the very basic math suggests that starting Q4, the ramp-up works out about 6% in sequential revenue growth. Is that math assumption right, or would you caution us on that assumption?
Yeah, so I think the for 160 million 10-year deal, I think it's pretty linear in nature. I think the first one or two quarters, the ramp up will begin gradually, and then it will fully get ramped up by later in this year, sometime in the second half. So I think we'll continue to see that come through in the next, I would say, 1 to 2 quarters, the full ramp up in scale of the deal coming through. But yes, beyond that, it should be pretty linear by and large. Of course, some seasonal effects happen with the retailer. So you do continue to see some seasonality effects in this deal also, perhaps slightly more uptick in the Christmas period and seasons like that. But apart from that, should be linear.
I'm sorry, did you say we begin to see a ramp up in Q2 or was it Q1? I'm sorry about that.
It's already ramping up now, but the full ramp up of the deal will happen in Q2 timeframe. It's already ramping up right now.
Okay. So in terms of Q4, how many days of impact did that have? I'm just trying to see what the variability in Q1 will be. So,
Q4 was almost negligible, Sujit.
Sorry, come again?
Q4 was almost negligible. I think we'll continue to see a big impact in Q1 and the final one in Q2.
Got it. And the final question for Jagan, you know, just to understand, did I hear it right? The non-cash impact starting Q1 will be about 23 crore a quarter. Is that right?
Correct. Correct, you are right.
Okay, okay.
And that is below the EBITDA due to acquisition. And this is like, except for the loan on the interest on the loan, the rest is more of an accounting entry, non-cash item.
I understand. I missed the third component of that 23. So 9.5 crore on amortization, 8.5 on interest. What was the third component of that?
This is the interest on loan. Loan is 5 crore.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, gentlemen. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Jain from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Sir, I missed the initial part, but did you say there is softness in travel vertical for 1Q? So first is, how should we read 1Q outside the large deal ramp-up and Quant acquisition? And second was related to this headcount. Was there some reclassification between domestic and international IT? Because now number looks like 300+. Initially, it used to be around 170, 180.
Well, let me take the first part, and I'll take the second part of the question. So the first part, we continue to see good demand pattern across all industries. What I was alluding was on the high-tech side, Mohit. We are seeing in few clients there is some softness in decision delay. That's the tail, that's the headwind I was talking about. But apart from that, whether it is retail manufacturing, healthcare, life sciences, even banking, we continue to see a good, strong demand momentum going on there. It was not travel.
TMT is like almost one-third, in that sense, so we should expect some impact there in the first half. Is that a fair assumption?
Few clients, yes, but not overall. The growth rates have come down. It's not that the growth is coming down. It's not that we're degrowing, but the growth rates have come down in the high-tech.
You do not see challenge in rest of the verticals, like retail manufacturing?
No, we are not seeing. We're not seeing the challenges yet, no. Jagan, do you want to take the second part, please?
Yeah. Mohit, can you repeat the second part of the question?
So I was looking at this headcount, split between international IT and domestic. So it looks like there is some reclassification of headcount between the two segments. Domestic now shows close to 400, but earlier it used to be around 200,  180 kind of level. So some employees have moved-
Yeah.
Here to there.
Yeah. Originally, the services part of it was with the international services side of it. We have moved that service, people who are providing service, which is integrated with the license sales, they were in the international business. Now they have completely been aligned to the India business only.
So when you say services business, you're referring to the cloud part of it?
I'm referring to the entire for the licenses, whatever is required to be done. There are some technical support required for that, that portion of it.
Okay. So when we are trying to calculate your, say, productivity, et cetera, we should only consider the headcount, which is now disclosed in international IT, right?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Yes. You are right.
Perfect, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Kachhadiya from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So a couple of questions. Let's start with the international vertical first. What challenges do we see for FY 2024 and 2025, with vertical-wise and geography-wise? Second, the acquisition which we have done, I guess it's the largest one in the entire Sonata's history. So, are there any couple more acquisitions we're considering in near future to expand our international services business? Third question, on supply side pressure, what catalyst or positive tailwind we are expecting in FY 2024 versus what we have already experienced in FY 2022 or in 2023? Yeah.
Thank you. Let me take the question one by one. So on the overall growth forecast and the pipeline that we are seeing at this point in time, across verticals and geographies, we continue to see a good pipeline build for us. Like I said, the only area we're seeing some softness in the high-tech space for a few customers where there are decision delays and the growth rates have come down to what it used to be. But beyond the high-tech or the TMT sector of Sonata, whether it is retail, manufacturing, whether it is banking, healthcare, life sciences, and emerging, all across, we are not seeing any softness at this point in time. Across geographies, the same story continues. Whether it is U.S., Europe, or Far East in Australia and in New Zealand and India, the growth momentum is relatively robust across all geographies. So we can't call out any particular geography which is either underperforming or completely not to our satisfaction. So we don't see that pattern as yet on that first question. On the second part of M&A, we have said this before, we'll continue to look for assets and properties which are going to cover our white spaces in the modernization engineering space and the verticals that we are going after. At this point in time, we just announced an acquisition. We are really head down integrating that asset. And like I said earlier, we're fully integrated from a go-to-market perspective. Quant already, we want to maximize that integration and really deliver to the promise that we have. We feel is in front of us after integrating it. But beyond that, if there are good properties available, we are absolutely happy to consider and take it on value as long as it meets our strategic objectives of modernization engineering. On the third, let me request Jagan on the supply side. Jagan, you want to answer the supply side question, please?
Yeah. Hello. You're able to hear me? Am I audible?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Yeah. The supply side, on the people supply side, your question was more on people supply side, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So the market has stabilized a little bit now, more now, and compared to what it was last year. And we are continuously improving the process, and attrition levels have come down dramatically for across the industry segment. There are particular segments which is like a specialized segment where still there are some shortages, and we are still looking out for hiring people. But it is far, far better than what it was in the last year. Substantial improvement that we are seeing in this. And that reflects in attrition, that reflects in the headcount addition and all this area. So we continue to invest in people and add people. And the campus hires also is a continuous process for us now. Last year, we have honored the complete campus additions, what we promised. We have completely taken them on board.
Okay. Sir, I have one follow-up question on domestic business side. The margin profile of this business is relatively low compared to the international. So what levels are there? And also from 3 years perspective, what's plan there for the domestic business?
Is this
Sumit, you will take.
Yeah.
I think it's Sujit on.
Yeah, Sujit, yeah.
Yeah, hi, this is Sujit Desai. So, as you said rightly that, you know, obviously the margins are not comparable to the international business. That's true. That's the characteristics of the business and that it's known. As far as the levers are concerned, see, there are two, three things what we do to maintain or increase our margin. One is obviously to make sure that we get involved in the customer implementation process and the adoption process, which gives a little bit of advantage to us in terms of managing and increasing our margins, what we earn from the transactions. And the second thing what we do is that there are various schemes which comes out from the OEMs, the hyperscalers or the other OEMs whose product and technology we sell to the customers. And we make sure that all our GTMs are aligned to these new schemes and the new rebate programs which are there, and that helps us in building our bet margin. And the third thing what we do is that, to enhance the competency level and to make sure that we are qualified and certified in the areas in which the OEMs are promoting their products. So these are the three things what we do to make sure that, we maintain and increase our margins.
And regarding the future view of the business, I think it's a growing market in India, and as Samir has already explained, we have put a lot of effort to have a very larger market share in terms of the annuity business. Currently, we are almost having 75% of our business as annuity business, and that give us the levers to have a much larger growth because, you know, once the base is there, we can focus a little bit more on the new accounts and the new customer patches, and that is what we continue to do. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Mehta from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. First question is about the international business outlook. We aspire to reach $500 million by 2026, which nearly implies 4.5% CQGR. So just want to get sense or overall thought process about M&A versus organic growth aspiration in this 4.5 kind of number. Second question is about the vertical wise. You partly alluded about the challenges in high tech in some of the accounts. Do you expect it to, so what's your sense about that weakness continuing, whether you expect it to be temporary or you think some of those things may continue for prolong? Thank you.
Thank you, Dipesh. So let me take both the questions. So the first one first. Yes, we have talked about $500 million in about four years' time in October 2022, which is still our goal to get there. And I think all the indications are we might get there slightly sooner than the 4 years that we had outlined. But keeping that aside, from an M&A and organic perspective, our philosophy is right now to drive mostly organic. But if an inorganic acquisition comes through, we are not going to be shy of that. But our plan is at this point in time to drive this with all the acquisitions that we have done to date and really spread them out. But if there are some tactics we have to do along the way, we'll take them on and integrate them fast with the base business and move forward. That will be the philosophy that we'll follow the case on that. The second point about the high tech, I think the trend we are seeing is the pipeline continues to be strong even in high tech. We are seeing some decisioning delays in few clients. Our sense is as far as we can see, we should start to see an uptick later half of this current fiscal, late part of Q2 to late part of Q2. I think the high-tech sector should come back to its original growth curve that we are anticipating. So we think it's about a couple of quarters of slowdown and decision delays at this point in time. It's hard to predict, but as far as I sit here right now, that's our current best estimate, Dipesh.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Samir from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just one clarification. We've also highlighted that our total revenue on Sonata level is 900 million. This will reach 1.5 billion in next 3 to 4 years. So if I look at the implied growth for domestic business, this is only 10 to 15% growth. Versus the 30% growth that we are growing, that we are currently growing. So is there something I'm missing out on for the growth profile for domestic business for next 3-4 years?
Yes, I mean, great question. I think we should continue to look at these two businesses separate. Unfortunately or fortunately, we do provide consolidated numbers, but keep that consolidated numbers aside. The international business will get to 500 million mark in 4 years from October 2022 or sooner. And we're pretty bullish about the fact that that should happen. And we feel there is very low to limited risk unless, of course, market conditions dramatically change. And we feel pretty strongly positive about getting to the point. And the domestic business, as we've always outlined, and I think Sujit answered this question earlier as well, that we should really look at the gross contribution in absolute numbers perspective. What your focus is to drive GC contribution, gross contribution from an absolute number perspective. Of course, we have to, from a consolidated perspective, take a look at the overall revenue, but those are the two broad metrics that we continue to focus in and drive the SMH.
Okay. And secondly, if you can show, I mean, I think we have answered, but Sorry if I missed it. Any indication around how should be the growth profile in the domestic business from a gross contribution point of view? Any commentary around that? That would help. Thanks.
I would have Sujit take that, please.
Yeah. So if you see, for last few financial years, we have maintained a very healthy growth, and this year also year on year, I think we have around 23% of gross contribution growth. And going forward, we believe that we should be maintaining this growth momentum. Have I answered your question?
Yeah, it does. And Sameer, if you can speak about the average size of these deals. We have seen 9 large deals in last, excluding the one large deal that you have quantified already. What is the kind of average deal size of these? What is the average size of the deals? That is one. And second, if I look at the large deal, $160 million deal that you have pointed out, is this margin diluted at the start? Because that's how large deals typically work. So if you can comment around that, thanks.
Yeah, so let me take the second question first and come to the first part. So the large deal that we announced is with a really marquee client in retail space. They are highly profitable, double-digit profitability and a very strong cash flow. Our margin profile on the deal in itself is actually accretive in the 10-year period. It is better than the average margin profile of Sonata. Having said that, in year one, there will be dilution because we are doing transition and investments are there in the deal. But beyond that, in second year onwards, it will pick up. And as time progresses, we'll continue to increase the margin profile from the deal. So that's on the large deal itself. From the other deal that you, the 8 or 9 deal that you announced in the course of the year, Sameer, I think it's, these are all multi-million contracts. And it's hard to put a number because they start as modernization programs, but they are multi-million and multi-year contracts. And they are in multiple millions, that's all I can tell you. And where we can share numbers, we share with you. For example, the $150 million we could share with a very definitive number the client signed up with. But most of these are in that zone of, to a couple of million a year, three-year TCV type deals are maybe slightly bigger, sometimes three-year annual contract and a three-year deal. So it's very hard to put a number, but it's in that zone of multi-year deals, multi-million, multi-year deals.
Okay. And if you can comment around the growth rate or the run rate that Quant is running at. We have the CY22 numbers that you have disclosed, but if you can comment around the current growth rates in the Quant business, how it's trending right now.
It's pretty much in line to what we outlined when we announced the acquisition 3 months back, Samir. I think they are in that zone of low 30s growth rate and low 30s EBITDA. I think that momentum will continue. There is a lot of synergy that we are driving on top of it, which will be on top of it that we will drive collectively with them. Think of Quant on a standalone basis, which is also hard to differentiate now because it's fully integrated at this point in time. But we are confident they will deliver low 30s growth on their own as it was.
Okay. And lastly, just to clarify, our wage hike is behind us, right? Q4 was our wage hike quarter, and that's behind us.
Jagan, do you want to answer that, please?
Pardon, your question again?
Wage hike is already behind us, right? So,
No. There is one part of wage hike is we have done in the quarter four. There is one more part of wage hike, that is for senior management. It's been there.
Okay. All right.
It will be roughly half of the 50-60% of the wage hike impact of what we have done in the gamble.
Okay. Got your point. Thanks for answering my question. All the best.
Thank you.
Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mihir Manohar from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for giving the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I wanted to understand the Quant Systems company that we acquired. So, there were two clients. One on the healthcare side and one on the BFSI side. These two large clients which we are looking at. So just wanted to understand, what is our strategy in mining these accounts specifically? And, what kind of mining are we going to have in these two large accounts? That was my first question. The second question was on the EBITDA margins. I mean, currently, the international part of the business, we are having 23 to 24% kind of EBITDA margins. And in our PPT, we are mentioning about EBITDA margins looking at early 20s kind of a number when we are looking at $500 million kind of a business. So just wanted to understand, you know, what kind of investments are we going to make for this EBITDA margins to get compromised? And how are you looking at the trade-off between growth and margins, specifically in that context? And my third question was on the domestic part of the business. I mean, is the domestic part of the business seasonally weak in 4Q? First, I just wanted to have an understanding. I mean, is 4Q a seasonality for domestic part of the business? And why is it so? Yeah, so those were the questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mehir. Let me try and answer one by one. So on the quant side, there are more logos beyond the two, but the two are really large logos. Our strategy is fairly simple. If you think of quant, they are experts in enterprise data and data privacy. What we are doing is working with them to create larger deals, which are more end-to-end in nature, to really bring Sonata capabilities, whether it's on automation, whether it's on modernization, whether it is on front-end engineering. We're really taking the entire suite of Sonata capabilities into these accounts, these two large accounts and other accounts of quant as well, and creating deals, mid-size and large deals both. And we're very happy with the progress that we've made. We've put investments from Sonata side into quant business to drive some of these deals as well, to really integrate the go-to-market like I talked about earlier. So our strategy is fairly simple. Take our capabilities into all accounts of quant, and likewise, the enterprise data and data privacy capabilities of quant, take them into Sonata accounts and really drive a full end-to-end integrated business. And like I said, we are very pleased with the progress that we have made in the last 6-7 weeks. At this point in time, the go-to-market is fully integrated. On the EBITDA side, I think we've talked to called this out earlier as well. We will invest 1.5 to 2% of our EBITDA in terms of our go-to-market, large deals capabilities, and general capabilities broadening for Sonata as well. It's something that we've outlined over 6 months back as well. And hence, we believe fairly confident we can still deliver, despite those investments, low 20s EBITDA. Go forward as well. When you think of us, it will be a low 20s EBITDA company in about 3 years' time as we get to the 500 million mark. I'm talking international business alone in that sense. So this, I think, is a pretty good trade-off because we're really investing the cash we're generating, we're investing back into business to really drive growth and take market share aggressively. As we know, as you've probably seen competition commentary, most of the competition is declaring slowdown in the coming year, but we are fairly burned about what is in front of us in the year. And that's really driven by our large deal investment, our M&A investments, and another investment we made to really broaden the services. Of course, we are cautiously watching the high-tech space, and I alluded to this earlier. The next 2 quarters, we are seeing some softening in few clients in high-tech, but beyond that, it's a pretty solid momentum that we continue to see. That's the second part of the question. On the third, on domestic, I'll start and maybe suggest and build on this. The business in itself has seasonal contracting and billing cycles. It generally come around in Q3 of the fiscal year, and Q4 seasonally also is a relatively different quarter compared to others. But if you really look at Q4 Y&Y, we have done very well in domestic business as well. I think Y&Y our business will be 30-31% plus higher. So if you take the seasonality factor of PPL, the business continues to be pretty robust and pretty bullish about it. So that business is Sudhir wants to add a few points on that. Sudhir?
Yeah, just to add what Samit said, yes, there is some kind of seasonality in the sense that especially on the revenue side, what happened, there can be some quarters, as you are saying, especially in the Q3, there are multiple very large contracts which are there in that particular quarter. And because our annuity business is so high, what happened year on year, the same large contracts get built in that particular quarter. And it also depends on, on our OEM with whom we were working. A lot of time what happened based on their financial year end, there are lot many large deals can get concentrated on a particular quarter. So that is what you see specifically in the between Q3 and Q4, what Samir was explaining. And, in our business, we don't have too much of control on the revenue. So what basically we try to make sure that we focus on the margin, and return on capital employed. And because, you know, it is a little bit difficult to control the size of the contract that you are getting. As a business, what we really focus is having good contract and good margin. Hope I have answered your question.
Yeah, sure. Yes, that's really helpful. Thank you very much. And best of luck for the overall journey.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to understand on the acquisition side, are we looking to do more acquisitions and what would be the timeline for the same?
Yeah, thank you for your question. I think our strategy is to really look for properties which help us clear the white spaces in the modernization engineering space, and we'll continue to do so. But at this point in time, like I alluded earlier, we've just done the largest acquisition ever in Sonata. We are head down making sure that we maximize the opportunity in front of us in the quant integration and go-to-market. And that's really where our focus is. Having said that, if we do intercept a company which is of interest and helps us sell our white spaces from a modernization engineering perspective or vertical point of view, we'll be happy to consider it. But that will be more where it meets the need rather than we look for an acquisition proactively ourselves.
Right.
We'll continue on that same strategy, Commission.
Right. And so earlier you mentioned about the agent. Yes, that answers that question. I had a second question, if I may. On the generative AI.
Yeah,
on the generative AI side, you mentioned earlier that contract size. So I was wondering if you could share what is.
Yeah, no, we're very excited about the generative AI space. I think there are two ways to look about it. First of all, we have implemented several use cases within Sonata on generative AI ourselves, working with some of our partners. But beyond that, we have had two significant wins in the generative AI space. One, which is more on the driving the productivity in a customer support area for a customer, to use generative AI to drive high level of productivity using the generative AI capabilities. That's one contract that we have won. And the second is in the healthcare space, which is what we call a safe GPT, which is really using the providing the security cover using the generative AI content. So that's the second one that we have won in the course of the quarter.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dwanit Saula from DN Trading. Please go ahead.
Hi, Maya, just one question. It's on our employee cost. As I heard earlier in the call that only a part of the increment has been processed in this result. I just wanted to know that when will the other half be seen in this result, in the results? I mean, which quarter? And to what tune does it actually affect our margins or our productivity?
Yeah, Samir, I'll take the question. The increment for the second part of the senior management will be in Q1 of this year, and it will be roughly about half of the impact what we have given for the what increment in Q4 what it has.
Okay. I mean, apart from that, there are no out of the cycle, increases in the employee cost which we are featuring right now, right?
Yeah, that's what I was mentioning. Also, the people supply side of it has improved dramatically compared to what it was last year. We are not giving out of cycle kind of a thing at present.
Hello.
The people supply side and the attrition has come down, and people supply side has improved a lot this year compared to last year. So there is no expectation of out of cycle increments for anybody now.
Okay. Thank you. That's great. All the best for the coming quarters. Wonderful set of numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Samir Dheer for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, operator. And thank you all of you for joining the call and for your valuable time. Like I said earlier, we are very excited about the quarter we just closed. So some very exciting things happened in the quarter. We closed the largest contract. We closed the largest M&A. And we continue to see a good momentum. There are two strong tailwinds behind us, based on the large deals in the M&A. And then there is a small headwind of this high tech for the couple of quarters that we in front of us. But overall, we continue to be very bullish about our business momentum, both on the domestic side and the international side. And we really thank each one of you for your support in the journey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
With that, we can close the call. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sonata Software Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.